Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello and welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to mostly be talking about the season opener for the Grizzlies falling to the Pelicans at home, 111-104. We're going to get to that in this, like right after this, but we got to start with the biggest news of the week, which was the fact that Steven Adams is going to be out for the entire season for the Grizzlies. This is a really big loss for the Grizzlies coming into the season, and we'll talk about some of the issues that come from not having Steven Adams, and they showed in that first game already. But really, just not having him on the glass is going to be a really big issue for the Grizzlies, I feel like. Not to say that they don't have a lot of other guys. Like, obviously, Xavier Tillman is good at what he does, and he did a great job in the first game. But at the end of the day, he's only 6'8", and it's about the amount of size that the Grizzlies can really put on the floor. And I think you really saw that in that opening night game, just this type of, like, they're going to miss Steven Adams a lot, especially against the front court, like they were playing against with the Pelicans with Zion and Jonas Valanciunas. Like, so I'm pretty sure, like, that first game, everybody can see how big of an impact was left on Steven Adams not being there. So I think the Grizzlies are going to have a lot to figure out with that going forward, just because you saw at the end of last season when they didn't have Steven Adams, they struggled a lot. So I think that coming into this year, it's going to be big for Xavier Tillman to try to take a step. Jaren's going to have to be much better on the glass and everything going forward. And they're also going to need Santi Aldama to take a step when he does get back, which is another reason why I was worried about some of the things I saw in the first game. But I think Santi Aldama will at least help them a little bit, so they're not going as small as they had to go against the Pelicans with Jake LaRavia and David Roddy at times playing the four when they really should probably be playing the three. So I think that just adding Santi Aldama will make the rotations a little bit easier. Hopefully he will be back soon. But he's still not going to be able to make up everything that they're going to miss with Steven Adams. And like I said, I think you definitely saw that in that opening night game, that there's a lot that they're going to have to figure out with Steven Adams being out this entire year.
Yeah. I mean, with the Adams thing, I mean, I didn't really say too much on it. I mean, I'm going to give a shout out to Anthony Sane because he basically talked about it on his pod earlier. Shout out to Sane. That's my dog. I wasn't really too concerned with the injury. I mean, not concerned in the sense of like it affecting the whole season, because obviously it's going to affect the season and how we do things. For me personally, again, like the team has to be better anyway with the rebounding. I think Adams obviously helps. I'm not saying Adams doesn't help. I think Adams is a piece to what they do, but I think part of it really now, the adjustment they got to make is being consistent on the glass, and we'll get into it. But I think, guys, you know, there's got to be more of a team effort, at least from just a team perspective, because obviously, like you said, you know, there could be some things they could do move wise, but like personally, they got to just be better on the glass as a team, because I think the first quarter they were fine on the rebound, and I think they were the second chance points, they were up basically 11-0, and then after that first quarter, it just seemed like their effort was just lacking. And that's always what I've said with the rebound. And it usually comes down to effort and being more locked in on that end. But also, like you said, we do need more size. And so I think, again, it all comes down to margin of error, personally. And so when you, at least tonight, from this perspective, when you're not shooting the ball as well, the rebounding would help you get second chance opportunities. And so your margin of error was slim if you weren't going to make any shots from at least a league average percentage wise, you know, type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think guys will have to, I think you know, you're not going to replace what Adams does, at least from a roster standpoint right now, unless they make some moves, but you kind of have to compensate for that. So there has to be more shot making. The offense has to be better. The defense has to be more important. Like, things you got to make up for in different areas. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's tough, but again, I mean, you know, while I do think Adams is good, Adams is a role player for this team. He's not a star for this team. And again, the stars got to be depended on. And obviously, again, we're going to get into the whole game, but like, stars got to be stars. And so, you know, I just think guys got to be better in a lot of aspects outside of just rebounding. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, there's a lot of other stuff that we can get to from that game that is different from just Steven Adams being out. But I did want to also talk about, I know you mentioned if they're going to bring somebody in. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. I think that they are going to wait it out a little bit. I know that they are going to get a suspended player exception and everything like that. So they would have a possibility to maybe sign somebody to try to help with the front court depth. Just because, like, you already had so many injuries with, you know, Brandon Clark being out. That's already a huge loss. And now to lose Steven Adams and Santi Aldama. Hopefully, he's day-to-day. Hopefully, that means he'll be back very soon. But if he misses a couple games, that just leaves you even smaller, like, on the front court. I'd like to see maybe if Kenneth Lofton Jr. does get some minutes. He didn't get any minutes in this past game, at least not any. And I really feel like he's somebody that could give them maybe a little bit, but he's still undersized as well for the position he's playing. So he's like, I think they still need like a legit 7-foot guy to come in to play with Jaren and stuff like that. And also, like I said, Jaren's going to have to be a lot better going forward. But I think I do agree that it's like a full team effort, because there's some times where it felt like, especially in that first game, they could have been a lot better on the glass. And it felt like there are sometimes they just got out hustled, and a lot of it just seemed like that. And just nobody boxing out, everything like that. But yeah, the whole of no Steven Adams was definitely felt on opening night. But hopefully they can figure it out as we kind of keep going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they just got to, I mean, again, with the game, offense to me was more of an issue than the rebound. I mean, the rebounding was an issue, but the rebounding was an issue because your offense couldn't be competent. And it wasn't necessarily from the standpoint of the offense was flowing bad. Like, I thought the offense flowed well. Like, I thought the offense was fine for the most part. Most of it for me is just you got to make shots. Like simple as that. Like, you just got to make shots. Like, I mean, I can get into at least right now, I'll start with team percentages. Like, we only shot 42% from the field and basically 28% from three. And, like, you're just not going to win that many games shooting 28% from three. Like, you got to shoot at least league average in today. I know, like, NBA, like, the game is not just math-based. Like, obviously, you know, I'm not super analytically, I don't believe, like, it's all analytics. But at some point, it is just math. Like, sometimes you just got to make shots. Like, and that's simply they just didn't make shots because a lot of them were open. And, again, half of it was, again, them missing wide open, but a lot of it was settling too. Like, you know, they didn't put enough pressure on the rim like they should have at a lot of instances. And so that kind of just made them, you know, it just made your, again, margin of error. I'm big on margin of error. The margin of error gets slimmer with injuries. So then you have to do more different things on the court to make up for it and stuff like that. So now if you're not putting any pressure on the rim, now you're just taking and jacking up threes, which is your offense is going to be even muddier. And then on top of that, you're not rebounding. So all that is like a domino, a trickle effect into what you get tonight. So it's just tough, but there was some, you know, encouraging things, but you know, but it just wasn't consistent. So yeah, that's really it. But again, it's always, like I said, it's game one. I'm not going to overreact too much. But yeah, I mean, the game, you know, it was, they had ups and, you know, good moments and bad moments. But I mean, again, I think all can be fixed with, you know, it's a long season. That's all I got to say. It's a long season, so you just got to let it, you know, just let it develop.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned not putting enough pressure on the Pelicans defense, especially just going to the rim. It really felt like nobody did a lot of that at all. I mean, like you said, they settled for a lot of threes. They shot 28 threes in the first half. And it's one thing if you're just on fire from three and you're making a lot of them. But the fact that they were, I think, 7 out of 28 in the first half, that just kind of shows like you're getting to a point where you're just settling for shots, even if you are open. It's like, okay, maybe there's a reason you're open. Maybe, you know, make the extra pass, find the better shot and stuff like that. So I did like some of the looks, but it got to a point to where even though you're open, like you don't always have to take that shot, especially early in the shot clock. And I felt like there was a couple times where it was like that. And then Luke Kennard, I don't think he's going to – like we've talked about, he struggled shooting in preseason. I don't think he's going to continue to struggle shooting. I think he will. Like, obviously, it's the first game. But you're not expecting him to shoot that badly from three. I think that would have been a big kick. And then when you said, you know, keeping pressure on the defense, I look right at Jaren Jackson Jr., which he's got to be more aggressive, especially without Ja, at, you know, not just putting the ball on the floor, but getting good position on the interior. I feel like at the end of last season when Ja was out, they did a really good job of getting Jaren the ball in positions where he can score in the paint and get to his post moves and stuff like that. And he's always done way better as a scorer when he has that kind of stuff instead of the kind of stuff where it seems like he's kind of just standing out in the corner, out on the perimeter. Every time he gets the ball, it's at the top of the key, and now he has to drive instead of getting the ball already on the interior. So I feel like they're going to have to, you know, it's partly on Jaren to be more aggressive and get in the paint and not settle for as many threes as he did in the first night, in the first game. But I also think it is partly on Coach Taylor Jenkins and the entire coaching staff to kind of run more plays for him early on so that he can kind of get in a rhythm offensively and he's not just feeling like, okay, I have to shoot these open threes because this is the only time I'm really touching the ball. There should never be a game where the majority of Jaren's shots come from behind the arc, and that's what happened in the first game. And the Grizzlies are not going to win many games like that.
Yeah, I mean, to start off, you're not going to win many games if Jaren, if I'm looking at it right now, I think he was basically fourth in shots, and there's no Ja Morant on the floor. Like, that's just not going – you're not going to win any games like that. I mean, D-Rose took more shots. Smart took more shots. Tillman took 16 shots. Jaren only took 9. And then out of the 9, 5 of them were threes. Now, I like Jaren taking threes, but again, he has to – and again, it's a two-way street. It's not just him – and again, it's not just him in the sense of, yes, he's got to drive more, but I will say, at least in this particular game, they did throw some different looks at him. Obviously, they went because there were a couple times where he would post up, but they would bring two on him like a double team. So then he had to pass out the guys, which then goes to my point. The guys got to make shots. And then on top of that, they did go to that zone, which I do feel like kind of messed them up really, but it mucked up the game a little bit in the sense of like they couldn't really get a flow with them not already hitting shots. So I do think that played a part. But, yeah, I mean, he's just got to be better offensively. I will say this, though, about Jaren. Again, it's not an excuse, but we've known Jaren to be a slow starter, like, seasons-wise. Like, he always usually starts, like, the season very slow. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, now, granted, last year he started pretty well. Like, I think not really. Actually, the first game he was very bad. Like, I think he was, like, 0-8. But then after that, he was good. So, you know, it could be the same thing. Jaren was 2-9 tonight, like, 8 points. And Friday, he could go for, like, 20-8. You know what I mean? 20 points. Like, he could really turn it around. So I'm not too concerned because, again, I mean, you know, he's one of the stars on his team. Like, it's hard for me. It's, like I said, long season. Unless Jaren just is this bad at basketball now, like, I don't expect him to be like this for 82 games. Then that means we have bigger problems or whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't expect him to be bad at every game. But, yeah, I mean, he was good defensively. Like, this team defensively tonight showed me a lot. Like, defensively, I was pretty encouraged by what they did defensively outside of the rebounding. But, yeah, they just needed points. And when Ja Morant's already out, now I know we talked to get touch on Luke, what you were talking about with Luke not being worried. I mean, he had some open looks that he usually knocks down in 0-5. Like, I'm pretty sure 4 of them were open. So, you know, you just got to be better. He's got to be better, especially that's what he's getting paid to do. But now I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jenkins said something about an injury potentially. So he's out. Now that makes your margin of error even more slimmer, which cuts your rotation down to what? I think they only played like 9 tonight. Then Luke went out. You only played 8. So when you consider all that, you can't have bad games from Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, in the sense of, he didn't have to score 35 every night. But 8 points is not going to be enough. You're going to need more. So, yeah, he's got to be better. I think they got to set, you know, run more plays for him. But at the same time, again, he's got to find his rhythm because, again, he's got to understand, like, hey, I got to get to the basket or, like, I got to be able, you know, I got to find – if the three's not falling, I got to get to it. Because that's what he was doing a lot of last year. Because in the years prior, he got a little bit too three-happy in the sense of, okay, like you said, this might be my only time I'm getting a shot, so I'm just going to take the three that's open. When in reality, you 6'11", 7 feet, 245, 250, you could probably get to the basket. And that's why he was – had a great as a season as he did last year. So, and I mean, I think he's going to get to it. But again, tonight was just a struggle for him in particular, at least from the star perspective. So, yeah, he's got to be better. But, I mean, I think he will. So, I mean, I'm not, like, too concerned. Like, again, like, it's just hard. It, again, I keep saying long season, but it's hard for me to see this. 82 games. You really have to ask yourself, you think Jaren Jackson Jr. is only going to average 8 points for 82 games when history says that this is not the case. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm not too concerned. Just a bad night. It happens. Like, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, I don't think it's going to just – because one night it happened one night doesn't mean I think that's going to be what it is the whole time. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that you can expect Jaren to play better than this, obviously, going forward. I did think he played well defensively, and I mean, obviously with the five blocks and everything like that, but I also thought he did a really solid job on Valanciunas, because Valanciunas is the type of player that he's had struggles with. Obviously, he still has to get better at the rebounding aspect, as does the rest of the team, but I feel like in terms of one-on-one defense, he did a pretty good job, and I thought he did a pretty good job against Zion. Obviously, Zion did get him that one time and got dunked on, but then he also came back and got Zion back, which is that's kind of what it's going to be like when you're playing a dude like that who has 40-something-inch vertical at, you know, already a 6'8". So it's one of those things where it's going to happen, and Jaren has talked about that in the past, where sometimes he's going to get got because he goes for so many blocks and stuff like that. But like I said, got him back and everything like that. But, yeah, it's really just going to come down to him being better and more aggressive offensively, and also him just continuing to try to get better on the boards. And he's talked about getting better on the boards, especially without Steven Adams. So just going to have to – that's going to be an ongoing thing for him this season. He's not just going to wake up tomorrow and be a better rebounder. It's something he's going to have to continue to try to, you know, focus on going throughout the season, and hopefully he can figure it out. But I did want to move, talking about star players, get it on a positive note. Desmond Bain looks – every bit of the all-star caliber player that we've been saying we thought he could be this season. It really got to a point to where I feel like in past seasons we've seen the with Ja on the court and Ja off the court on off numbers and see how much better the Grizzlies are when he's on the court. And if you look at the numbers tonight, I mean, it really just felt like whenever Desmond Bane was in the game, you were watching a completely different basketball team. Just the way that the ball moved was way better. The way that the players were moving was way better. And then, obviously, when you look at the way that they shot the ball, Desmond Bane was one of the only guys who was actually knocking down his threes tonight. Five threes on opening night. Very different from last season, where it felt like he started off kind of slow. This year, seems like he's starting off with a bang. 31-point game, opening night. That's what you like to see. So, shout out Desmond Bane. Hopefully he can continue to play like that, but also the players around him will actually knock down some more of those threes that they were taking. Just because, I mean, I think if you get that level of play from Bane, I mean, he really was the only reason they were even in the game. So I think if they continue to get that level of play from Bane, they'll win some games. Like he played well enough tonight for the Grizzlies to win. You could honestly argue that he was one of maybe two players that really played as good as the Grizzlies would need them to play when they're at their best. And I would say that's him and probably Xavier Tillman, just because I think Xavier Tillman did about as much as you could ask for him with the kind of hand he was dealt as well, with, you know, finding out that he's going to be the starter just a couple days before the season. But, like, obviously Desmond Bane coming in as the number one option offensively. And I think that he answered, you know, he's continued to answer all the questions people have had about him being that number one offensive option coming into the season. He's just going to have some more help from his teammates going forward.
Yeah. Bane is Bane. I mean, this is what I expected. I mean, I'd expect 31 because I thought, you know, more people were going to score the ball, but obviously nobody did. So that's tough. But I mean, Bane is, I said it earlier. I said they can't guard him. Like, I wasn't really worried about, like, I thought Bane was going to score 20, 25 points tonight easy. Like he's healthy. Like, I don't think, again, the talk about Bane being the number one option, like, most people didn't. Again, I say this all the time. People think that, you think, well, people will watch the Grizzlies because of Ja Morant, but they really don't, because most people don't look at Desmond Bane as some big star or whatever. Same with Jaren, which I guess is fair to some extent because of the accolades. But, like, again, people don't understand the context of Bane's season last year. He basically played six healthy games. And, like, in the six healthy games, he was averaging, like, 25, 5, and 5. And then after that, hurt his toe, but played on a fractured toe and was averaging basically 22-5-5 on a bad toe the whole year. So yeah, I'm not really like you know, all this is I expect from Bane. He's healthy, so you know, I mean, he again shot the ball well, playmate, rebounded. I thought he's pretty solid defensively, for the most part. So yeah, I mean, you know, and there was a time where I think it was the second quarter where the game was starting to kind of get away from him, and then I think he made two big threes, which kind of basically gave him. I started like a 10-0 run that brought them back into the game. And again, that's why you know I'm not too discouraged by the loss, because there were times where they would, especially in the first quarter, they were up, had the game in hand, and then they lost it because they couldn't score. But then they would get back in the game, but they just felt like they kept playing from behind. So yeah, again, you know, you need some guys to make shots. It's just, again, it's just hard. I keep saying shot making, but like, if this is what comes down to, it's a make or miss lead, you know. And listen, they missed a lot tonight. Like, that's literally it. And but again, I just don't expect this the whole time. Like, it's hard for me to see them be this bad from the three the whole time, especially because it's not like a lot of these shots were they were open shots, but not a lot of them were bad shots. A lot of them were rhythm shots that, you know, you would think start to fall eventually if you just continue to play the right way. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Bane, again, I think Bane, if you know, if things go how I expect them to go in terms of record and things of that nature, then Bane will be an all-star. Like, I'm not really going to trip off there. Like, I think Bane's going to be an all-star. If not, I mean, he's all-star level. Like, it's clear. Like, people don't watch the game, so I don't really worry about anybody's opinion if you don't really watch the Grizzlies. Like, it's just not, like, you know, it might be funny and all, but, like, they don't really watch the games or watch our games full through and through. So, and they, but they will, though. I mean, if especially they start winning, they're going to start seeing, like, oh, man, Desmond Bane's pretty good. But, yeah, he's been good the last 3 years. I just ain't seen it. So, yeah, no, it was a good night from him. I mean, obviously, he was the best player on the floor for us. There was a couple other guys that had their moments, too. We'll talk about real quick, you know, in a little bit. But, like, yeah, Bane was, I mean, obviously the best player for this team tonight. Like, you know, wish you could have got some help from Jaren. But, I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then to also look at some of the other guys, I think we do got to talk about the newest additions to the team in Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose, which I think they both had flashes of kind of what they can be for this team. I think Smart did have a little bit – I think he did an okay job considering it's really his first time running the offense, but I feel like he's going to have to be better as the main facilitator, only had three assists tonight. I think he's going to have to do a lot more in the pick and roll. And I would like to see them go to Jaren in the pick and roll a lot more as well. So that's another thing that you can see. But, I mean, he made a couple threes and made some timely shots, I feel like, as well, that kind of kept the Grizzlies in it when it kind of felt like it was kind of getting away, kind of similar to what Bane did. But I think that what he brought in terms of scoring is going to be fine for what the Grizzlies need from him. I don't think his scoring was really an issue tonight. I thought he did a pretty good job as a scorer. But, yeah, I think he's going to have to continue to get better kind of as a facilitator and everything like that. But also on the other end, I will say I thought Derrick Rose looked really good, especially for the role the Grizzlies really wanted him to play. I feel like when he came into the game, he did kind of give a spark off the bench. And, I mean, as soon as he came in, obviously the standing ovation was awesome. And his first play, he found Roddy on an awesome pass and everything like that. Hit a couple threes tonight, and that's more than you could say for a lot of the guys on the Grizzlies. So shout out to him for actually knocking down his long balls and everything like that. But I felt good about the way that both of them played. But yeah, I was really impressed with Derrick Rose in particular. I feel like he's continuing to prove just throughout this preseason and then in this first game, he's kind of proven that he has a lot more left in the tank than a lot of people were saying coming into the year. And yeah, like I think that if the Grizzlies get that from Derrick Rose consistently, I think they'll be good with that.
Yeah, I mean, to start, I mean, I think both of them played pretty okay for what I kind of expected. I mean, I think the only complaint I have for both, I guess, is, I mean, I think, you know, which is my complaint for the whole team. I've been saying is just the rim pressure. I think Smart, to some extent, settled on a couple threes. He took six of them. I mean, he shot 50%, but I think a couple of those were like, I feel like he could have attacked, especially since he's a bigger body. Because there was a couple times where he got a piece of the paint and was able to get either a floater or a create for somebody else. Same for Rose, which is the biggest thing I think for Rose that I saw. I mean, the shots, I mean, he took 11 shots. And I'm not really too mad at the shot attempts just because the simple fact of there were a time where, at least in the second quarter, guys were being a lot like too passive. And I mean, Rose was the only one out there that was taking the shot. So my thing is, yeah, Rose is not making a lot of them, but at the same time, who else is taking them? No, everybody else was scared to shoot at that time. And then obviously Rose hit, I think, a timely shot start of the fourth quarter. But I really was impressed by Rose's playmaking for the most part. I think he hit Kennard on like three times where Luke was able to get open just to make shots. So I think that's really the most impressive thing with Rose to me is not really the scoring aspect, but more so the playmaking. So I think the offense will continue to flow. People just got to hit shots. Like I know I sound like a broken record, keep saying it, but just they got looks. Like it's hard to win when you're not making open shots. And so, you know, I think from that perspective, Rose is pretty good. Smart was pretty solid defensively. Obviously, like you said, considering I think he scored 17. Yeah, I mean, that's more than what I expected from Smart, obviously, like in terms of like average. Like I don't expect him to score 17 every night. You know, but if he is scoring 17 every night, that increases your margin of error, especially if Jaren Jackson plays up to the level we know he can play up to. So, yeah, I mean, I think those guys are going to obviously get better as the season goes on. As long as they stay healthy, you'll get more chemistry. Guys will be more accustomed to how they play, their spots and stuff like that. Because there was a couple times Smart got stuck in the pick and roll, and then I think he tried to make a pass, and I think it was a turnover. Like little stuff like that where he'd get more reps with those guys and knowing how they're going to roll off the screens and certain things, or whether they're going to roll or are they going to pop, are they going to, you know, slip. Like he's going to be able to understand that as he gets more reps with these guys. You know, he only did play one preseason game, and I think Rose only played two. So these guys still got to get acclimated here, but I do think that they looked pretty okay, like at least from what I saw, you know, really healthy. That's really what I care about right now. It started the season, so you want guys to look healthy and stay healthy. So, I mean, for the most part, they did. So, yeah, but, I mean, I think they had solid performances. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then I did want to end, before we get to the end of the show and everything, I think we did need to revisit the conversations we had, you know, coming into opening night about the fifth starting spot. Obviously, Zaire Williams did end up getting the fifth starting spot. I felt like he had a solid game. He was 4 out of 7 from the floor, and I feel like he could have been a little bit more aggressive. Like you said, there was a time when Derrick Rose was really the only one being aggressive kind of in that second quarter. People were being too passive. And I think he was one of the people that also I saw put the ball on the floor and got a nice dunk to try to get the Grizzlies going a little bit after that run they had in the second quarter where the Pelicans, I think, went on, I think, as long as a 16-0 run in that second quarter. So I feel like Zaire did a good job at that. When it comes to his defense on Brandon Ingram, it was one of those nights where even though Zaire Williams played some really good defense on B.I., he hit some really tough shots as well. And it really started from the opening tip. I think it was like the first couple possessions. Zaire had a great shot contest on Brandon Ingram. But if Brandon Ingram gets to that mid-range, it really doesn't matter the kind of shot contest that you put on him. So it's almost like he doesn't even see the defender there. That's really what it felt like when I was watching that. So I didn't really think that was on Zaire. I think that he did as well as you could expect on Brandon Ingram, but it's the NBA. Some nights guys are just going to make incredible shots. But I did like what I saw from him overall, even though I do think he can be a little bit more aggressive, similar to what we saw from him in the preseason where I felt like he was playing with a lot of confidence and everything like that. In terms of David Roddy, I didn't think that he had his best game, but I mean, I don't think he had a horrible game either. I think that he continues to be solid on defense, and that's going to get him a lot of minutes, especially because of the front court issues the Grizzlies are having. So he's going to play a lot of minutes at the four. Not to say that that's necessarily where you would want him to play mostly. I still would like him to play at the three mostly. But he's going to be playing at the four a lot. And, you know, he had to guard Zion a little bit and take a couple of those hits. I thought he did a good job of doing that. And then Jake LaRavia, I feel like Jake's the one who, if Santi is healthy, he's not going to be out there. And I think just from what I saw in the first game, that's not going to – like nothing really stood out to me as to why he should be out there over other people. So I think once Santi comes back, he's probably not going to be in the lineup. He might play some minutes, but I think that that's the guy who was playing for Santi more than anybody else, whereas Roddy, I think, is still going to be in the rotation, just maybe at a different position. But I don't know about Jake. I mean, I know he did hit that turnaround in the fourth quarter and everything like that, but it just seems like if he's not making threes consistently, it's going to be hard for him to make an impact on the court, especially like on defense and everything like that. So we'll see what the coaching staff decides to do going forward. Obviously, we're only one game into the season, and once Santi Aldama comes back, we'll get to see what this full rotation is going to look like with the guys they're going to have this season, at least. But I mean, not to say that Jake had a horrible game or anything like that. But he just doesn't look like he's ready to be that role player necessarily. And I didn't really know if I felt that way like in the preseason either. Not to say that he's never going to be there. Maybe he will in the future. But I just feel like right now it's probably going to be more Zaire and Roddy definitely playing. And then Laravia is going to play on nights like tonight when a guy like Santi Aldama is out for a couple days. But we'll see what Coach Jenkins decides to do going forward, coming into this next game on Friday.
Yeah, I think for the most part, the young wings were, or the young players, I say, but the wing position combo, forward position, however you want to say it, they were pretty solid. Obviously, the start was Zaire. I mean, he played as well as I could expect him to play. Defensively, I thought he was really good. You know, again, Ingram was just making tough shots. I mean, Ingram was the sole reason they were in that game to start the game. Basically how Bane brought us back in the game. Ingram was the main reason we didn't go up double digits in that first quarter. Or late first quarter, early second quarter, Ingram was just hitting some tough mid-range shots. Like, I'm talking, like, Zaire is right in his face, and he could. And there was a couple that were fouls that, you know, I guess to me were a little bit questionable. But, I mean, Ingram is just making tough shots. That's what he does. He's a mid-range killer. So I wasn't really, you know, concerned with what he did defensively. I mean, you know, like you said, some nights it's just going to be that dude's night. Like, he just hit some timely tough shots, as did their whole team. So you just got to give them the credit. But yeah, I mean, I think he was pretty good. Like, again, he shot 4-7. He made open shots. I mean, he only took 3 threes, but I mean, he made, you know, the one that, you know, a big one, I think, that we needed. And again, he didn't look out of place. Like, the ball moved. He rebounded a little bit. I mean, he had 4 rebounds. He hoped that he could maybe get a couple more, but I mean, I'm not going to over, you know, criticize. Like, he's like a connector role player on this team right here. Now, I'm not saying he can't do more. He could have scored a little bit more maybe, but like, he's more so playing off of guys versus him getting plays for him. So I can't really, my expectations for him, I'm not like to go out there and get 18, 20 points. That's not his role. So I thought in the opportunities he did have to score and did have to make plays, he's pretty good. Especially like you said, that one dunk where he had, it kind of gave us some more momentum, some more life. I think there was a couple times where him and either Bane or Smart, I think it was Bane, where they had a couple miscommunications on the lob where I think it went through his hands or Bane overthrew him a little bit that could have maybe changed a little bit or gave them a little bit more momentum in their favor. But I mean, I thought he's pretty solid for the most part. With Roddy, personally, I mean, I know you said you'd like to see him more than three. Personally, I've always viewed Roddy as a PJ Tucker type of player. So I think he's playing his true position, personally, in my opinion, because I don't think he's a guy that, I mean, he could play, not say he can't play wing, but I think he's better, his true position's at the four as an undersized four who, obviously he's undersized, but he's built. Like, as we saw tonight, he played Zion pretty well for the most part. I think people are going to look at the box score and see Zion's 23 points without realizing that I think going into the fourth quarter, majority of the fourth quarter, he are like outside until the last couple of minutes, he was held to like 13 points. And a lot of that had to do with how Roddy was guarding him. And not just Roddy too, but X, Jaren at times. I felt like they did a decent job on him until the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think Roddy played pretty well. You could tell that he was, you know, like, again, these guys are just getting more reps and feeling like they don't look out of place. I think maybe Jake looked a little bit out of place, but offensively. But I think, again, even then, I think he was solid defensively. Like, the young guys, they didn't play like how my expectation for them is to not be like, I'm not expecting them star level. Like, I'm not expecting them to be Bane or Jaren, but I'm expecting them to just be at least competent. And I felt like they were competent for the most part. Again, they could have rebounded more, yeah, but the whole team could have rebounded more. Could they have made more shots? Yeah, they could have made more shots. But, you know, for what their role was, I thought they were okay in it. And I think, you know, as long as they can do that with maybe a little bit more, we'll be fine. So yeah, I mean, again, it just all boils down to the offensive end for me. Like, you know, I think, you know, it's just they got the execution. I say the process of the offense looks better in terms of how, like, I didn't feel like I was complaining a lot tonight about, like, man, Jenkins is out here not running plays for guys. Like, I didn't feel like I was saying that watching this game because I used to say that a lot. I just felt like a lot of it was like, dang, we just can't make any shots. Like, you know, so I think the process is fine. But, yeah, it's just a little bit of things that got to be figured out. I think defensively they were fine. They got to rebound better. I think defense, like the starting five defense, the versatility, the switchability, I think is going to be really big for them. But I think even Brevin said it on the broadcast. They're going to have to figure out, like we talked about the whole night, they just got to figure out ways to make up for things they lack in. You know, they might have to get out a little bit more in transition. Because of the lack of consistent shot making and maybe consistent rebounding. So, you know, they might have to do certain things different. But, I mean, again, you got 81 more games to figure that out. And, again, luckily, they have a weak schedule, but they have a softer schedule to kind of figure these things out. I mean, obviously you play the Nuggets next, but then – and you have a back-to-back game, but you play the Wizards on Saturday. Then I think next week you play the Blazers in Utah at some point. So – not to say those teams are bad, because, again, the West is really good to the point where you can get got if you're not locked in. But, again, you have time to figure this out. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not like the Grizzlies got blown out by 35 points. Like, they lost the game by 7 points at the end of it. Now, even though the Pelicans were in control for most of it, like that fourth quarter, like they lost by 7. And Jaren played as bad as a game that you could play as a star player. And Luke, who gets paid to shoot, played as bad as you could have played. And, like, you know, like, some guys had some outlier, like, type of performance. Even on their team, like, Herb Jones, I think, made, if I'm not mistaken, two threes. He barely takes it. Like, guys hit timely shots. Like, it just happens. Sometimes it's not your night. I think X even missed, like, a couple. Like, guys were just missing. I think Bane blew some layups. X blew some layups. Like, it's just some of those times it just might not be your night. And that's how I kind of feel. Like, it just wasn't their night. So, yeah, and I mean, that's just part of the season. You know, there's going to be some games where it's just not your night offensively, and you got to find ways to make up for it, but just it's hard. So, yeah, you know, they're 0-1, but it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world, bro. I'm not about to get on here and overreact. Like, I know, you know, fans love to overreact to, you know, week one and game ones of NBA season. Just, you know, that's what sports fans do, but, like, for me, I'm not going to. It's just, I find it funny. I laugh at it, but, like, you know, I'm not going to overreact. So, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not overreacting to one game. If there's like a pattern, like that's my thing, is when it becomes a pattern, that's when you start to get worried about it. But one game at any time of the year, like anybody can beat anybody one game of the year. People have good nights. People have bad nights. It does suck that they had a bad night on the first night of the season, because you always do want to get off to a good start, especially in front of the home crowd. And the other thing is, it doesn't get any easier coming up this weekend as they're playing the Nuggets. And if you watch that first game that the Nuggets played against the Lakers, they already look like they're in midseason form, and Michael Porter Jr. wasn't even shooting the ball well. So that's offensive juggernaut coming in here. But like you said, defensively, I felt like the Grizzlies did very well, but they're going to have to be much better on the boards, because Jokic is going to be good on the boards. Aaron Gordon is going to be good on the boards and everything like that. So they're going to have a big test coming in, defending champs, everything like that. So like I said, it doesn't get any easier in the short term. I do agree with you that their early schedule isn't, you know, super, super difficult. But, I mean, second game of the season, getting the defending champs. Luckily, they are going to have them back at home. So hopefully they can try to get back on track with that. I will say, usually the Grizzlies in the past haven't lost back-to-back games at home very often. So that's something I'll be watching out for. Hopefully they can try to keep that trend going into the next season.
Yeah, that is really the biggest hope for me, on at least for the next game. Is like, again, they're home, and I mean, I think people forget that we played them last year when Ja was on the floor, but I think that's what Al Adams and X did a pretty decent job on Jokic. Like, we blew them out by like 20 points. Like, it was a good game. Like, we blew them out, like, in the forum. Like, I don't really, like, the forum is like a really home court advantage. Like, we have one of the best home courts. So I do have confidence that they'll come in ready for Friday. ready, you know, prepared. Because, again, I think, again, if they could get a little bit more rhythm offensively, I mean, I think they, again, you know, things could change, especially in the form. Like, it's going to be rocking. Momentum could swing, you know, could swing their way. And they could really be in control of the game for a majority of the game. I know the Nuggets are tough, but it's not like it's an unwinnable game. It'll be a tough game for sure, but, you know, especially if Luke can't play and then Santi's not back, you know, your margin of error is slimmer, but it's not impossible. I think the other game might be a trap game that next game, the next day against the Wizards, because, again, they are like a lottery team. But, again, you know, you can't just doubt them. And, again, we also are playing Tyus Jones, so he might have a kind of, I won't say vendetta, but, like, you know, how people want to play good against their older team, you know, their old former team. So, you know, that could be a factor. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's not, you know, it's not what you would hope for. You know, you hope they could win the first game. But, I mean, again, it's just the first game. So, yeah, it's tough. It's a tough loss because of how they lost, because there was good in it and they would have a moment. You'd be like, damn, they're going to turn this around, and they didn't. But it happens. It happens. So, you know, yeah, I think they'll still be fine. I'm still going to sleep well. I'm going to sleep all right. I'm going to be ready for the Friday game. And yeah, I'm gonna expect them to play a little bit better, hoping that they can win. So yeah, you know, I don't really have too many concerns yet. I mean, again, we first game, you know, I let things develop before I really have some concern. So yeah, night one, I'm not gonna have no concern. So it's okay, we'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, like I said, hopefully they'll be able to bounce back against a really tough Nuggets team, obviously. But as always, I want to say I appreciate everybody that listened to this week's episode of the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I was joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we'll see y'all next week. We'll be giving y'all even more updates from the Grizzly season, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about some wins.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.